This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. For nearly a decade, Joe Sciacca has led the Boston Herald, most recently seeing it through a change in ownership and massive layoffs. But today, after more than 30 years of working at the daily newspaper, Sciacca announced he's leaving the Herald for the role of enterprise editor at Channel 7 News. He joined us earlier today to talk about his next move and reflect on his tenure at the Herald.
If the Herald were a person that you knew, you know, it would be, if it was an organic creature, it would be somebody that was, stood up for the little guy, you know, that was populist, that had was easily outraged by injustice, was outraged by government abuse, you know, that wanted to help people and stop the conversation every day. So every day that front page was a blank canvas. And I knew that as a writer, when I was a young 26-year-old reporter, walking into that building for the first time, that I could write something. And then when those presses started to roll and you could smell the ink and the floor was vibrating and you saw those papers shooting out the door, that it was going to have impact the next day. Maybe it was going to result in a government reform. Maybe it would help somebody. Maybe it would help somebody that otherwise would not be given any attention until the spotlight of the press was on them. So I think that helping people and telling stories that can achieve something in the public interest, that's kind of what I'm interested in doing.
I'm curious. I mean, that is an impassioned description of what you've been trying to accomplish at the Herald for the last 30 years. Did you think originally that you would retire in print journalism?
Well, when newspapers loomed large and we were ruling the universe, we knew nothing except print, and we thought that there could never be an end to newspapers. But then when the internet happened, we realized that there was going to be disruption. But, you know, I have always felt that disruption was a good thing because it brought innovation and it brought creativity. It made us think about our business in a different way, and it made us think about how we communicate in different ways. And so I embraced it, and I embrace it today, and I think it was a good thing for journalism. I think journalism is alive and well.
So I want to stay with this idea of disruption, Joe. I mean, the Herald has been greatly disrupted. You know, there's been a series of cascading events there, starting with publisher Pat Purcell announcing the sale of the paper, Digital First Media's acquisition. Then there were layoffs, cuts. Did that affect your decision to leave and go into a different branch of journalism?
Newspapers are challenged. Like, this, I'm a realist. There's no doubt about it. And so there are lots of things that I might have been able to do 20 years ago that I can't do today because of financial constraints and resources that are tighter. And that's the same at any newspaper in the country. We're seeing the same sort of financial challenges and the tightening. And it's very discouraging and very disheartening, no doubt about it. But to me, honestly, every day that the Herald is published is a win. It's a win for Boston. It's a win for the readers. And so I'm somebody who, as an advocate for journalism, you know, whatever it takes to keep that paper afloat, I'm going to support it. Producing news is very expensive. Paying reporters and photographers and editors and the distribution systems and the printing systems, and then of course all of the web digital systems that we have in place today. It's very expensive to run a newsroom, and so a lot of difficult decisions have to be made. I look at the positive signs. I look at digital subscriptions growing, and I see that as being a big plus. I see the print readers hanging on because they want that product. There are still readers that want that print product. I think that it's really about multimedia and trying to produce content for use across platforms that's unique, that's high-quality content. And I think that's the challenge for the media today, is to try to create that content that you can only get under the umbrella of your brand. And in the Herald's case, I think we've done a very good job of preserving that brand, that populist, fighting for the little guy, government watchdog, feisty kind of brand.
That kind of brand, if that kind of voice goes away, whether it's just in print or overall, what's lost in a local community like Boston?
Boston is very, very fortunate to have two daily newspapers that are still out there every day. I have a lot of friends at the Boston Globe, and as much as I root for the Herald's success every day, I root for the Globe's success every day. I think we have a great dynamic in Boston with two major daily papers, and if you stop reading one of those papers in a given week, you're going to miss stories. You're not going to see them anywhere else, and so part of the city really does go silent when one of those papers ceases to exist. And we've seen that happen in so many other places in the country. We don't want it to happen here. So I just think it's imperative that we do whatever we can to try to keep those voices alive. Now, whether those voices will always be alive in print or whether they will be digital or some other means of communication, the bottom line, I think, is that you always need good reporters, you always need good editors, you'll always need people presenting the content, curating the content, and I think that's what's really important.
Let's stick with this idea of voice for a minute, Joe. A couple of times during this discussion, you've used the word populist. You've talked about the Herald pushing back on government corruption, or I think one phrase you used was easily outraged by injustice. So how do you characterize the Herald's voice? And what about critics who say, oh, you've pushed pretty hard and you've offended people and made people angry with that outrage and that populist voice editorially, let's say, over the last 10 years?
Well, I think that it's important that some stories be told, even if they offend. And I think that, there used to be a slogan that we used to the Herald that was, somebody's got to say it. And sometimes we'd write stories that we knew that weren't going to be the most popular, that perhaps there'd be pushback. And I think you can't be dissuaded by that when you're a journalist. You've got to tell the story as you know it. I just know that when I look back on some of the great things that we've done in recent years, special reports about teenage homelessness, finding out that there are thousands of kids that go to Boston Public Schools that are homeless, an amazing statistic, and drilling down on that in a two-day special report followed up with a roundtable discussion. Human trafficking and the intersection with opioid abuse, we wrote a special report about that and sort of looked at the new issue, the new challenges that law enforcement and others in government face in dealing with that dangerous intersection of human trafficking and opioid abuse. Unsolved murders. We looked at statistics in Boston Police Department, and we found that there were hundreds of unsolved murders, and that the majority of those unsolved murders took place in Boston's minority neighborhoods, and that the majority of the victims of unsolved murders were young black men. And there was the question raised, it was an uncomfortable question. Were the police just assuming that those cases were gang-related and therefore not quite putting the resources into it, into solving those crimes? They weren't easy stories to tell. They might have offended some people. They might have been provocative, but they had to be told, and the Herald told them. So I'm proud of that.
When you started that answer, you said somebody's got to say it. We are in a time where there's a lot of quote-unquote speaking your mind that can really enter into the realm of being offensive. Does somebody always have to say it, or how do you think about those editorial judgments in doing your work?
Well, I'm a little old school when it comes to objectivity. I still believe that, and I still tell our reporters, even if you believe something to be the case, that you need to be fair, you need to have some balance in a story. Today, I think that objectivity is very, very much endangered. It's one thing to tell a story with passion and to tell a story that has a strong, conclusive point, but it's another thing to basically not tell the other side or to not frame the story as a discussion. And I think that even today in journalism schools, there are some journalism professors that are telling students, look, you don't have to get the other side. If you have a premise and you believe it to be true, you gather the facts that back up that premise, and that's your narrative. I don't agree with that.
So let's talk about your change now. You're moving from print journalism to television. Why did that move make sense to you? What is the venue or the medium of television particularly offer you at this stage in your career?
I like the real-time aspect of TV. I like the fact that things are being reported as they happen. And certainly now with social media, there's a real-time element to what we do. I like the visual impact of television, but also learning how to tell stories in a different way, to tell stories in a visual way, and to tell stories in a high-impact way.
It's pretty striking that Channel 7 is an independent television station and the Herald was established and run for a very long time as an independent paper. Do you see parallels there, and how do you think about those?
You know, I think so. I mean, I think that there's a certain, whether it's a, being hungry for the news or having this sort of feeling that you're sort of untethered, that you can go out there and cover anything anyway without being beholden to anyone. I think there is a certain element to that. Channel 7 has done a remarkable job, in terms of staying very relevant in this market. And let's be honest, television is challenged as well. I mean, every medium is challenged in today's changing media environment where people are getting news in so many different ways. And so it's imperative that TV continues to try to tell stories in the highest impact way possible so that they can remain relevant. And that involves a lot of listening to what people are talking about out there and to finding what the audience is and then speaking to that audience.
Joe, what's the legacy that you hope you're leaving behind at the Boston Herald?
Well, I'll tell you, for me, I don't want to sound like too old of a person here, but I mean, I look back on the young reporters that I worked with over the years. I look at Kimberly Atkins, who I hired to be a City Hall reporter and a State House reporter at the Herald years ago. Worked with her for many years, a brilliant reporter, and now she's at WBUR doing great and just actually communicating with her today. I look at Carolyn Ryan, who I hired from the Patriot Ledger and covered the State House for us. Spent a couple of years with us, went to the Globe for some time, and now she's at the New York Times doing really, really well. So it's the impact that I hope I've had on journalists as they were learning the business and doing great work, and whether they stayed at the paper for many, many years like me or whether they went on to other things. That's what I think I take the greatest pride in.
Joe Sciacca has been the editor of the Boston Herald since 2010. He announced today that he's leaving for a new job as enterprise editor at Channel 7 News. Joe, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Adriana. I appreciate it.
So let's get some analysis. We're joined here in Studio 3 by WBUR senior news analyst John Carroll. John also blogs at It's Good to Live in a Two Daily Town. John, thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
Seems like a really good day to have the guy whose blog is called It's Good to Live in a Two Daily Town. I'm just going to start. I watched you listening to that. So let me ask, just start with your reactions to what you heard Joe say about why he's leaving.
Well, I think the Herald is lucky to be alive. And I think Joe Sciacca has a good deal to do with that. I mean, this is a hard town to be a tabloid in. The three C's: crime, celebrity, corruption. We're not great on any of them, actually. I don't want to downplay crime or anything, but I mean, you look at a paper like the New York Post. I mean, that has a really highly tabloid sensibility. The Herald has kind of been in this sort of mid-range for a while, and I think that Joe Sciacca has done a good job of keeping the paper relevant with dwindling resources.
You used the word tabloid a couple times. The Globe today referred to the Herald as a scrappy tabloid. What do we mean by tabloid, and what is the market in print journalism that a tabloid fills?
Well, I mean, tabloid refers to the physical layout of the paper. The Globe's a broadsheet, the Herald's a tabloid. But there's also a sensibility that you're going out there, and like Joe says, you want basically the scrappy reputation and scrappy image that you're out there fighting for regular people. The Herald has always been that sort of paper. Its circulation is dwindling fast. I mean, Joe talked about 20 years ago. 20 years ago, the Herald circulation was 261,000 a day. Now it's somewhere around 38,000. It's hard to keep going when you've got to basically sell yourself off the newsstand every day, which is what the Herald has to do.
So for people who were not here during the height of the Two Daily Town, when the Herald was bigger and stronger than it is now. Help people understand, what was that like? What was different about then now? And what are we running the risk of losing?
There was a edgier competition back then. I mean, the Herald has always had a chip on its shoulder and has always gone out there to try to compete with the Globe. I used to think of the Herald as sort of a lively index to the Globe, but really they live in completely different universes now, and there's not all that much intersection. Maybe sports is the basic area, but the Herald is really finding its own way and doing stories that other people that the Globe is not doing. So today they have a story about EBT cards, the welfare cards being used in Hawaii. You know, that's a classic kind of Herald story. And, you know, that's what they've provided all along.
So one might intuitively think, okay, Herald gets smaller, good for the Boston Globe. But is there a way in which a smaller other paper is bad for a paper like the Globe?
Well, the Globe is much smaller, too. I mean, if you want comparables, in 2003, the Globe circulated 402,000 papers a day. You know, now they're around 100,000. So, you know, they've cut 75% in their circulation. So both papers are struggling in terms of circulation. But the Globe sees itself with a different mission than the Herald. And they also have different revenue models. When I say the Herald has to sell itself off the newsstand every day, that's literally true because they have very few home subscribers. So every day they have to go out there and put out a paper that is going to attract people to pick it up and pay for it on their way to the tea, on their way to lunch, whatever it might be. So that's difficult, and that sets up a sort of a different editorial kind of sensibility than if you're the Globe, which has a lot of home subscribers and doesn't have to worry about newsstand sales quite as much as the Herald does.
So let's use that EBT story as an example of something. Joe talked about the importance of balance and presenting both sides. You know, in the EBT story, yes, there were some expenditures in Hawaii, but it was an extremely small percentage, and people are allowed to be other places. So when we have that desire for balance, do we always present the picture the way it is, or are we pushing things for editorial agendas?
Yeah, all due respect to Joe. I mean, the whole idea of balance, you know, his paper is basically a Trump organ at this point. Almost every columnist is a card-carrying Trumpiac. You know, there's very little diversity in terms of perspective, in terms of ideology, in terms of Even racial diversity at the paper. And they have an agenda that they're carrying out day after day after day, which is to promote Donald Trump, his administration, and the kinds of policies that they think will play with their audience.
Do you think Joe would take issue with that characterization?
Joe would take issue with almost everything I say.
Okay.
But, we go back a fair amount.
All right. So let's talk about whether and if this is a harbinger, this move of the editor of the Boston Herald to a television news station is a harbinger of larger things for local print journalism.
Well, I mean, you have to look at the ownership of the Herald. The Digital First Media came in and bought the Herald, and they have a reputation of basically stripping down all their properties. They've stripped the Herald down. They came in with 175 employees. They're now down around 100. So essentially, they're going to milk the Herald for as much as they can. That's not good news for anybody who's there or for the resources that they might have going forward.
In our last 30 seconds or so, is this the beginning of the end of the Boston Herald?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's remarkable that they get the paper out every day. And I think that they're down to bare bones. And the question is there going to be some kind of regionalization of Digital First Media papers? You know, they own the Lowell Sun. They own the Fitchburg Sentinel Enterprise. You know, that might happen. I wouldn't write off the Herald anytime soon.
All right. WBUR senior news analyst John Carroll, also a blogger at It's Good to Live in a Two Daily Town. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, we talk to the head of the state's Office of Campaign and Political Finance, who is stepping down after 25 years on the job. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.